All right, just turn around and don't have to get up from your seats. I know it's kind of cold and you are pretty warm where you're sitting right now. Just turn around and shake someone's hand or you know, give them a hug. All right. You know, when we come to church, we are a family. We are a community. And who knows, this is the only handshake or only hug some of us get in the entire week. Who knows if this is the only time we feel we are part of something. Let's get into today's message that we have. Last few weeks, well, a couple of weeks ago, we started what we call Living Adequately series. And today I'll be taking you through part three of that Living Adequately series. How many of you went around this week and said, I feel inadequate? You said that this week, all through the week you went around and you just kept on saying, I feel inadequate, I feel inadequate. That's okay. It's not a laughing matter, really, because when in the premise of the first message, the introduction was that whether we express it or not, whether we verbally express it or not, we all feel inadequate in certain aspects, in certain events or situations in our lives. As much as we don't like to say, hey, how are you doing? How are you doing, Johnny? Oh, I feel inadequate. Thank you for asking. How are your studies going, Stephen? Oh, just inadequate, Pastor. Thank you for asking. I just feel inadequate in history, geography, science, everything. We don't go around saying inadequate, I feel inadequate. We don't even go around and say, I feel adequate. Our culture and society has a tendency of attaching same kind of connotation to two separate words, two antonyms that is supposed to mean two different things. I mean, you don't want to say adequate because people will think he's just barely managing his life. You don't want to say inadequate because you don't want people to say, oh, he doesn't have it together. We don't go around saying that I feel inadequate or, yeah, just barely managing. But deep down, you and I feel inadequate more often than we would like to confess. And this is not a guilt message. This is not to bring your guilt in forefront of you. Now, if that happens, fine. But this is to give you a tool that works for me every time I use. I should be using it all the time, but sometime, inadequately, I don't use it. We all at one point or another in life have come to the conclusion that my life is not put together. My life is out of shape. And I feel that physically, but I'm talking about life and not bodily, you know, muscular or non-muscular. I am definitely out of shape. I'm definitely not put together. I mean, if you look at my middle portion, of course, you know that I'm not put together very well. And especially after 3 hours of shoveling this week, because I had snow all my entire sidewalk. I have a corner lot house, as you know. Entire sidewalk was ice. I had to shovel that. It took me 3 hours. So after that, definitely knew that I'm not put together. I'm not in shape physically. But I am talking about that feeling that you get in your spirit, in your heart, emotionally. You feel like my life is just out of shape. My life is not put together. So last week we explored one of the reasons why our lives might not be put together, why you and I might be feeling inadequate at times. I said that the Bible tells us every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, and it shows us the truth. I said that the Word is the Word of God. God gave us the Word so we can apply. It's useful one way or another. We need to apply the Word of God. Oftentimes, we just read the Word of God or it's spoken at church and you hear it, you listen to it, but you and I are like that builder who just listened to it, went and built their house on the sand. God wants us to be people applying His Word. Not just reading it, not just listening it, but applying it in every day, every aspect, every facet of our lives. Now, when the Bible says that every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us the truth, what truth is it talking about? The Bible shows us truth about God, about who you are and who I am and what is our purpose in life. The truth that God wants you and I to understand, the truth that God wants to show us from His Word, from His expressed will, is that He wants you to live an adequate life. The entire message of this Bible, of this book, 66 books, 4,000 years, 40 people writing, you know what? One thing. How your and my messed up life matters to God. Because He is genuinely interested in your and my life. And He wants to put it back together the way He intended for you and me to live. The way the reason He created us, the purpose that He created us for. You know, He wants you to live a life free of addiction, a life free of worries, a life free of shame and despair. A life that is full of joy. A life that is full of meaningful relationships. A life that is full of gratitude. That's what He wants your and my life to look like. And that's why Jesus declared, Jesus proclaimed, no one. I studied world religion. I was brought up in Hinduism. No one in the entire world says this, what Jesus said. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now just think about that. You know, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now God's Word, Bible, God wants to show us that He wants us to have an adequate life by living in truth, by living truth. Jesus Himself is the truth, and He revealed that to us. That the only way we can have an adequate life is by having a personal relationship with the revealed truth of God, which is Jesus Christ, who is Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus again says to this group of people, a group of Jews, they wanted to follow Jesus. And so Jesus says to them in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, He says, if you stick with this, you are saying you want to follow me, you are saying that you want to have a personal relationship with me, you want to walk with me, fine. If you stick with this, the decision that you are making, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. And I'm reading from the Message version of the Bible. It says, if you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth. If you follow through this personal relationship that you have with me, if you follow through, you want to have an adequate life, you want to live a life that is shaped up and put together, you first need to have a relationship with me. And then, if you have the relationship and if you follow through, then you will experience the truth. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you. Simply put, for you and I to live an adequate life, a life that is put together and shaped up, we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. We need to live in the truth. And that's what we talked about last week. That's the reason we said there is one way, you know, Bible shows us how we can have an adequate life by showing us the truth of the Word of God, the truth incarnate, Jesus Christ Himself. We need to have a personal relationship with Him. The Bible also shows us another reason why we live an inadequate life. Sometimes. These are various reasons at various stages of life that we encounter. But before we launch into this reason, let me ask you something. Have you ever done, said, or watched something that you knew you should not have done, you should not have said, or should not have watched? You knew that doing those things, saying those things, or watching those things would totally go against what your dad, your mom, your brother or sister, or for that matter, anyone who had any sort of influence over your life had told you, to totally go against anything that they had told you. Some of you are nodding your head and some of you are like, yeah, all right, as if I'm going to tell him. You're my pastor, that's fine. I'm not divulging all those secrets to you, you know. That's okay. I'll tell you. I'll tell you about my life. This story is from when I was 10, about 10 years old. I remember this incident very well because it's like an unforgettable memory for me, indelible. It cannot be removed until I die. Okay? My parents had set rules about how long I could stay out and play after school. I used to come home from school around 4 o'clock, have some snacks, and then go out to the playground and play from about 4:30 to 6 o'clock. It was like one of those cardinal rules of the Chakraborty household. You do it. It's a routine. You know, you come home, you eat your snacks, you go out play. I mean, unless, of course, you're sick. Or the weekends were different. You could play longer. You could go out after lunch, and you can stay as long as you're in the playground, as long as you're not going some places that my parents didn't want me to go, or the groups that they didn't want me to hang out with. But anyway, this was like one of those rules. It was like rules of engagement for Chakraborty household. You came home after school, you had your snack, you went to the playground, and you played from 4:30 to 6 o'clock, and you came home. It was going fine and dandy until one day I decided, you know what? I'm going to play as long as I want. Who are they to tell me that I have to only play till 6 o'clock? I'm going to play as long as I want. So I kept on playing. The sun went down. You know, the younger kids, the kids of my age left. So I went and joined with the older age kids and, you know, started playing with them. Play with them. We were playing cricket. So some of you don't know what cricket is. Similar to baseball. Just it takes longer and it has different objectives. Anyway, so I was playing cricket. But that evening, of course, the end result of my choosing to play as long as I want definitely was very unpleasant for me. It was met with severe chastisement, very softly put, severe chastisement by my parents. Now I remember how wonderful it was. But anyway, so it was met with, discipline and chastisement. But that evening, I knew that there is something in me that makes me want to do something, makes me want to say something, makes me want to watch something that I should not do, say, or watch. I knew I came to understand this potential of me not doing what my parents want. I mean, I knew what the end result will be until some time. I mean, I was to get discipline until like I was 18. Don't tell anyone. But I realized that there's something in me that just wants to do the things I know that I should not be doing, should not be saying, should not be watching, or anything that was told to me that, you know, if I was supposed to do something, I would not do that. Or if I was not supposed to do something, I will do that. So let me go back to that question that I had started with. Have you ever done, said, or watched something that you knew you should not have done, that you should not have said or you should not have watched because you knew that doing those things, saying those things or watching those things will totally go against what your dad, your mom, your brother or sister, or for that matter, anyone who has any sort of influence in your life had said to you. And you know what? The Bible is very clear about this. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, in the Message version, it says, every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to leave God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks that God has for us. This has been our anchor Bible reference for this series. That if we are in the NASB version, it says that you know, the Scripture, every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, reproofing, correcting, and so that the man of God is adequate and effective for all good works. God wants you and I to live an effective and adequate life. He wants our life to be put together and shaped up. But the thing is that we oftentimes walk in rebellion. We walk in rebellion. You and I do the things that we should not be doing. You and I say the things that you and I should not be saying. You and I watch the things, and I'm just using only a few examples here. You and I watch the things that we should not be watching. We walk in rebellion. Now, I want to tell you this. If you are someone who has it everything together, you follow every I and every T of the Word of God, and you are not walking in rebellion, I want you to do something that any stewardess or steward in a plane would say. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the message. But if you are like me, and you are saying, you know, Pastor, I hear you. I've been a Christian for some time, and you know, I do what the Word of God says, but there are these times when I feel inadequate, and I know the reason for this, it's stemming from some kind of rebellion. I know I should be doing that, but I don't do that. I know I should not be saying that, but I say that. I know I should not be watching that. I should not be anywhere that, but I go and watch it. Flip the pages of magazines that we should not be flipping. Flipping through channels of television channels that we should not be flipping through. Saying things that we know will hurt someone, yet we say it. Doing things that are not according to the Word of God, yet we do it. So the Word of God, God's Word, exposes our rebellion. You want to have an adequate life. You want to have a life that is put together and shaped up for the tasks that God has for you and I. We need to let the Word of God expose our rebellion and deal with them. God's Word not only shows us the truth so we can live an adequate life, but it also exposes the things that keep us from living in that truth, living in with Christ. Just as 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says that God's Word, every part of Scripture, is God-breathed and useful one way or another, and it exposes our rebellion. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6 very, very vividly portrays a picture of our state, how we are, and it says that Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, we are all like sheep who have wandered off and gotten lost. We have all done our own thing, gone our own way. It describes the state of Israel at the time. It also describes the state of us, a human being, before coming to Christ. But it also describes the state of after we come to Christ, after we have been saved by the blood of Christ, after we have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. Sometime we do wander off. Like sheep who have gone, wandered off from the path and gotten lost. We have all done our own things, gone our own way. I don't know about you, you know, you might be all saintly people, but I find myself at times going on my own little way. wandering off of the path that I know that I should be walking. And you know, that's when the Word of God, that's when the Bible exposes my rebellion. That's when the Bible, some verse from some chapter, some book would just leap up and say, I'm in wrong way. Wrong thing. Wrong act. Wrong speech. It's not according to the way, the task that God has for you, the way He wants to shape you up, the way He wants to put together your life, the way He wants to make you adequate for your Christian living. You see, God is genuinely interested in our lives. He is interested. He is very interested. He is so interested that you know, He... Just think of that. He's so interested in our lives that He, in John chapter 3 verse 16, it says that, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. He is so very interested in your, genuinely interested in your and my life, that He came down. He gave His life so that we can have a relationship. The point is that the Bible does not just expose, just does not bring out the rebellious nature that we have, the rebellion that we walk in. And it doesn't do it just so that you are made to feel worthless, wretched. It doesn't dangle it in front of your face saying, you are nothing. You are worthless, and you look at you, you are such a rebellious person. The Bible brings out, exposes, when it says that the Bible exposes that every part of Scripture is useful for one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion. When the Bible exposes our rebellion, it is not to make us feel worthless forever, but to show us our true nature and to bring us into our true place, which is at the feet of Christ, which is to receive the gift that God has given us. When Jesus said to those group of Jews, which we read from John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, and it says that if you stick with this, if you continue doing, if you continue following me, if you continue, you know, getting out of this rebellious way of yours, and if you follow me, you will experience the truth for yourself, and the truth will set you free. So if you are having trouble following what God wants you to do, what does the Bible say? I had mentioned this last week. I said, if you are having trouble in your life, in your marriage, you're asking me, Pastor Ayin, I'm having trouble in my marriage. What I'll tell you, do you know what I'll tell you? I'll tell you, here is what the prescription for a godly marriage in the Bible. Follow this. If you come to me and you say that I have problem managing my finances, I'll tell you, here is how God says that you should manage your finances in this book. Manage your finances this way. If you come to me and you tell me, you know, my teenage son having some issues, having some problems, I'll tell you how to rear your children, prescribed in this Bible. The Bible says, so if you're having trouble following God, following His way, what does the Bible say? It says, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Very simple. Put God first. If you're experiencing some things that is rebellious in your relationship with God, please put God first. If you're experiencing problem in your marriage, what does the Bible say? Husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husband. That's what the Bible says. Right? If you're having trouble with your kids, what does the Bible say? Parents, do not exasperate your children. Children, obey your parents. Honor your parents. If you are having trouble managing your finances, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, that everything that we have is given by Him. The Bible loves a cheerful giver. All the principles of any facets, any aspects of our life that there is a possibility of us rebelling against the Word of God, there is an answer. Because the Bible just doesn't expose our rebellion. It gives us a way to live adequately. It just doesn't say you are bad, but it says you can be good, and this is how you can be good. This is how you can put your life together. This is how you can your life can be shaped up. You have to put your life against the Word of God. You have to compare your life where you are. If you are feeling inadequate in any aspects of your life, you have to put it against the Word of God. And see, do you need truth? Do you need to take care of rebellion? Rebellious act? Do you need to come to the Word of God and just let God shape your life up? Because that's what He says. That's what He says. And I just love that verse in the Message version because it speaks so clearly. It says, every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word we are put together. Nothing else in our lives can put us together. You can try. You can go to those people, those who counsel you. You can go to, you can buy books. You can read thousands of books on particular subject. But the Word of God puts us together and shapes us up for the tasks that God has for us. Everything that in our lives we need to do, God has an answer through this book. So just imagine with me. Last week I had asked all of you to just for one day live truthfully. How did that go? You don't have to answer me. How did that go? I'm going to encourage you to just live one day in obedience. Because adequate living is living truthfully, living in a relationship with Christ. It's also to live an adequate life. You need to live in obedience to Christ and His Word. So one day, let's take one day and live in obedience to His Word. Because remember, it exposes a rebellion, not in a way to put us down, but to lift us up, to put our life together, to shape us up for the tasks that God has for us. Just imagine how your personal life would look like if you were living in obedience with the Word of God. Just imagine how your marriage would look like. Imagine how your kids, your home would look like. Imagine how your neighborhood would look like. Our community. Imagine how our church would look like if it was full of people who lives out their lives in obedience to the standards laid out in the Bible. Can you imagine what kind of impact we can have, we will have in the lives of the people, those whose life is not put together, not shaped up, and they would just love to know. They are searching. They're probably doing things that will not put their lives together, that will not shape them up. Just imagine what it can do. So this morning, as we end in prayer, I want you to commit just one day, maybe rest of the day today or tomorrow, to live in obedience and see how adequate you become, because it's not God wants to put your life together. He wants to shape you up. He wants to do that in me. He wants to do that in you. We just have to live in obedience. One of the reasons that we do not live an adequate life is because we walk in rebellion. And that is the reason we can live in live an adequate life if we live in obedience to the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, for every time I read your word, the Bible, I'm reminded that you are genuinely interested in my life, that you care for me so much that you gave us a handbook that has all the answers of life, all the answers that makes my life, that helps my life to be put together and shaped up for the tasks that you have for me. Whether it's to be a good husband, a good father, a man who follows God, loves God, a good neighbor, a good employee, all the roles that I have, all the tasks that I have, Lord, you have, your promise is that you will make me adequate, you will make me put together. And so I pray, Lord God, that each and every one in this building today, Lord, as we have listened to this message, I pray, that, Lord, that we will not go out there without being obedient to your word. Lord, I thank you for this morning, and I pray that, Lord, you will be glorified through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I have requested Johnny that...